Well, first thing I want to say is Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Very good. Now, maybe you think I'm a little bit confused or late, but it actually still is Christmas. Did anybody know that? Yeah, some people there. Remember that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? On the 12th day of Christmas, all of that. I never remember all the parts of it, but there really are 12 days of Christmas, and this morning is actually day number 10. So, you know, if you haven't had enough parties and gifts yet, you still have two more days of Christmas left. This is exciting stuff. And then, right after that, you can have more parties and gifts by having an Epiphany party. Epiphany is actually on January 6th, and it is a great day to give and receive gifts because it's actually the day that we remember the wise men coming to worship Jesus and bring him those gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh, the stories that we talked about this morning in our Bible readings. Now, I remember being so excited when I was growing up that the year I finally got old enough to be a wise man in our family Christmas program. Every year, I grew up with a large family. My dad had seven brothers and sisters, and so we would all get together, and Grandpa would take out the Bible, and he would read the Christmas story from this very old, worn black Bible, and then all of us cousins, and eventually the spouses of cousins and children of cousins would all get together and we would act out this Christmas story. And of course, if you were the youngest, then you got stuck being things like the sheep and goats and stables and stars and just making up all sorts of funny little things. But so I had to do that a number of years, and it wasn't that great. And then I got a little bit older, and I kind of graduated up to a shepherd, so I got to put the bathrobe on and be kind of cool. But then finally I arrived, and I was a wise man, and I was like, yeah, you know, respect the crown. This is good stuff. I was so excited to put that crown on and just think like, oh, this is the best thing ever. I still love those crowns. They're just so fun to wear, aren't they? And so I remember that and thinking that was such a great thing, and the wise men was so cool, and being able to have these special little gifts. And some, I think I brought a John Deere tractor as a gift one year. You know, you do that when you buy a farm. But I also remember being really surprised a number of years later when I went to Bible school and we started studying some of the Christmas story and different things, and I realized that the wise men were not at the manger with the shepherds the night that Jesus was born. And I was so confused. I thought, wait a second, isn't that, we have all our little nativity sets, right? We have them all together there, and all the people and the little shepherds and the little wise men and little camels and all that. But if you paid attention this morning, what the Bible actually tells us is that the wise men came to the house where Jesus lived, a house, not a stable, in Bethlehem, sometime after Jesus was born, possibly as much as a year or two later. So this is an event that's taking place. They come to see the child Jesus, not the infant Jesus. So I was really surprised by that. And I was also surprised, you know, kind of growing up with the story of the three kings, that these wise men were actually magi, the Bible says. They're not kings, and they're actually astrologers, people who look for the stars for signs. That's why they noticed this new star, why they followed it, why they were so interested in it. And then we also have, of course, the three wise men. We kind of think about that. But people say there's three of them because of those three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But in reality, we have no idea how many there were. There could have been two, there could have been 20, there could have been much more than that. We're not sure. So why am I saying that? Am I saying that to just kind of throw off your Christmas story, to make you take the wise men out of your nativity sets and not put them in there anymore? No, I'm not doing that. The reason that I want to explore the true story of those magi is because I want us to move past simple songs and figurines to discover the important things that this Bible story teaches us. Because the truth is, it really doesn't matter how many magi they were or exactly when they came to visit Jesus. The important thing is that they came. I mean, have you ever really thought about their journey? They had to make serious preparations to come and see this little newborn king. They would have had to give up at least months and months, if not years of travel, because they said it was 2 years ago that they first saw the star appear in the sky. And if you wanted to travel from Israel, somewhere from the east, we're thinking that it maybe was Turkey or around there, by following a star and you're on foot, that would take at minimum several months of travel, going through very dangerous, very inhospitable places. And of course, going through desert areas and all that, they would have needed a lot of provisions, and they would have needed lots of animals and people to help carry those provisions and to help protect the treasures that they gave, right? They made all of these huge sacrifices. They took incredible risks. They left behind their family, their friends, their home for what? It simply says, for a chance to see and worship this newborn king. And then when they get there, what do? They give these very, very valuable gifts, some of the most expensive gifts of the entire world at that time, which likely actually paid for Mary and Joseph's trip to Egypt, which happens right after this. Remember that, where Joseph gets this dream in the middle of the night and the angels tells him to flee to Egypt? They would have had a really hard time fleeing to a new country and being established somewhere else if they didn't have these gifts of great wealth just given to them. So you think, great timing, wise men, or great timing, God. But after giving these expensive gifts, after going on this incredibly difficult, dangerous journey, they worship Jesus, and then what? Almost immediately turn around and go back home by a different route. Another dangerous journey ahead of them. I think the most astonishing part of the story is that these magi or wise men decided in their heart that this journey was worth it. All that time, all that energy, all those risks, all those valuable resources, they decided that it was worth it to briefly meet and worship this little king. Even though they knew nothing about Jesus' death and resurrection leading to eternal life, even though they didn't know that faith in Christ made us reconciled with God and children of God. I mean, isn't it amazing that they headed out on this adventure basically seeking nothing in return but to simply see and worship this king? And that should really make us think, if outsiders like them sacrifice so much to come and worship Jesus, how much more should we who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, how much more should we who receive the gift of Holy Spirit, we who have the gift of eternal life, how much more should we sacrifice to draw close to Jesus and to worship him with our lives? Now, as I took time to re-examine the story of the Magi this week, it really exposed the fact that I too often take for granted the gift that God gave to me and to you and to all the world when he sent his Son for us. I mean, maybe we haven't really taken time to appreciate all that Jesus gave up to be born and die for us. And maybe we haven't really thought about the sacrifice the wise men give. I mean, you think about if these outsiders, again, gave up so much, isn't it strange that sometimes we struggle to sacrifice an hour by getting up and going to church on a Sunday morning? I mean, isn't it interesting that we struggle to sacrifice a little bit of time during our day so that we would pray and that we would read God's Word? And I'm not saying that to make people feel bad. I'm not saying that to try to push guilt on anybody. Guilt is not a good motivating factor. It does nothing. And I'm guilty of this too. There's lots of mornings that I get up and I know the best thing to do in the morning is to read God's Word, but I'm tired or I don't feel like it, and so I roll over and go to bed a little bit and skip that part of the day. So I'm not saying that just to make us feel bad. What I'm saying is, we need an invitation this year to seek the Lord, just as the wise men did. And I'm challenging all of us to seriously pray about what it would mean for us right now to sacrifice anything to make Jesus the center of our lives. Now, we can choose to take faith for granted. We can choose to just kind of receive that gift of salvation and do nothing and sit back and say, yeah, you know, I kind of deserve that. I'm a great person. Thanks, but I'll just sit here and, you know, do nothing. Or we can realize that Jesus came to us even though we don't deserve it. He gave us the gift of salvation even though we did nothing to earn it. And that is incredible good news. And that gift is given to us and to all people, right? Jesus said, all who believe in me will be forgiven. All who believe will have everlasting life. We can take all these gifts and we can do something with them. We can offer something back. Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't want to simply take Jesus for granted. I don't want to take the gift of Christ at Christmas for granted. Instead, I want to be like those wise men, and I want to believe that Jesus really is worth sacrificing everything in order to draw closer to him. And I saw a glimpse of that on Christmas Eve when we gathered together and we celebrated the light of the world coming in person to tell us God's love for us. I saw that as we lit our candles and sang Silent Night, as the Christ candle and all of our candles brightened up the room with the glow of Christmas, right, where we received the light and then we shared the light with others. And that light gave us a wonderful picture of how God's kingdom becomes a reality in our world. We receive God's love, and then after we receive it, we make the decision to share God's love, to give His love and His light to others. And what better time to make decisions, what better time to look at our lives than now, this week that is filled with New Year's resolutions. So maybe some of us are kind of thinking about physical fitness goals or financial goals or different resolutions for better exercise or saving money. And it's okay to dream about what we want to achieve in this year and think about all the ideas that we have and the good things that could happen. But I also pray that we ask a much more important question. Say, what is it that God wants for me this year? What does God want for our church? What does God want for our community? And that is actually the question that we are seeking to answer as we go through this Essential Question Challenge, which starts next week. As a reminder, this is a 10-week journey through the book of Acts that gives us the whole story of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, and all of their mission that we continue to share. And I'm challenging all of us to sacrifice time during the next 10 weeks and to do these readings. There's going to be 5 readings every week that will take us through that book of Acts. We'll read 5 readings. We'll have a Sunday sermon that's based on the main point of those readings. And then we'll also have some small group opportunities for us to talk about those readings. And again, I would really encourage you to find a way to participate by reading, by listening on Sundays, and by being part of a small group. If you're not going to go out somewhere and be part of a group and talk about it, at least talk about it with your family or talk about it with neighbors. Get together and think about the book of Acts. Think about the readings that you have and think about what it is that God's desire is for you and for us. I'm also still looking for some small group leaders. I'd love to have some more options for us, different days and times of the week. And all that takes is for you to just pick a location, pick a day and a time. It can be any day, any time that you would want to host a group. And by hosting a group, all you need to do is simply have, there's a little discussion guide that gives you a couple of ideas on what the highlights are and some questions to ask, right? It's a very, very simple thing. If you're interested in doing that, you're welcome to do so. Right now, we will have groups that will meet during the Sunday school hour on Sunday morning and also on Tuesday morning at 9:30. And then we're looking for some other groups, maybe on a Wednesday night, maybe other times. But again, this is a great way for us in a new year to be like the wise men, to seek Jesus, to seek the will of the Lord, and to sacrifice some of our time by doing daily Bible reading. Those 5 readings a week are a great discipline to get us going the rest of the year. It even gives you 2 days off, so if you miss a day, you have 2 extra bonus days to catch up, right, so you can do all of those readings. And I really believe that this will be a great opportunity for us to see God. And if you do want a copy of that book, we have several copies of the book over in the church office. We have sign-up sheets out in the back in the narthex. I think it's about $8 for that. But it's also, that's a great resource, even if you're not going to be here. If you're going to Florida, if you're traveling, or if you're just in your house, it's a wonderful, just a very, very little book, but it gives a summary of the readings, it gives ideas to go deeper, and it gives discussion questions to really make those readings come alive. So I would really encourage you to do the readings, to think about getting one of those books, and to be part of a group of people to talk about this so that we can come together as a church and seek God this year. And finally then, as Christmas ends, as Epiphany begins, and as a whole new year starts, I pray that we wouldn't just walk away and forget about this baby Jesus that was born in a manger and forget about all the things of Christmas as we put our trees away, but instead that we would take time this year to intentionally draw closer to Jesus. So please accept this challenge to read God's Word. Accept this challenge to read through the book of Acts as a church, as a community. And my prayer for us as we do that is that we would be wise men, we would be wise women, we would decide in our hearts that it is worth sacrificing anything to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Amen.